half the room disappeared. Okay. So now, in course of time, Pandu became the king. And Pandu was an extremely powerful person. He was endowed with all good qualities, an extremely valiant warrior, and he was ruling over the entire earth planet. And he was very fond of his elder brother also, and his elder brother Dhritarashtra also was very fond of him. And in this way they were enjoying their situation in the kingdom. Maybe I should have given a 15 minutes break. Then it would have been 20 minutes. So, but one day, while Pandu was very fond of hunting, that's one of the qualities of the Kshatriyas. They're very fond of fighting and they're fond of hunting. It's a natural propensity of the Kshatriyas. And then one day, Pandu was, while he was hunting, he accidentally killed a deer which was a sage. In the sages with the mystic power could transform themselves into different forms. So, for example, here this sage turned himself into a deer and he was in the act of union with his wife, and at that time Pandu killed him. So while dying, the sage cursed Pandu that if and when, rather when, you unite with your wife, when you unite with any woman, you will live your body, you will die. So, being cursed in this way, Pandu actually decided to not to return to the kingdom. Because as I say, like in the royal palace, to be in the middle of such alluring environment, one naturally becomes attracted to sense gratification. So that's why Pandu decided to take Vanaprastha and go into the forest, remain in the forest. But his wives, Kunti and Madri, they told him that they would also accompany him. Because in Vanaprastha order, one can be with his wife, although they don't indulge. So this way, they all left, they sent message to the kingdom, that they sent message to the capital, that they are not going to come back, and this is what has happened, and so they are going to remain in the forest. So they went up in the Himalayas, where the sages lived in the ashram. And one day, Pandu was discussing with his wives, especially with Kunti, that somehow the family line has to be maintained. In the Vedic culture, this custom is very prevalent, that the family line should be maintained. That is because the children perform sacrifice. Children perform Shraddha ceremony. After death, the rituals to help one in his journey after death. This ceremony is called Shraddha. And it is important that this Shraddha, for the sake of performing Shraddha, one have to have a son. So, and in the Kshatriya culture, or in Vedic culture, those days, it was accepted or it was authorized that if somebody could not produce children himself, then on his behalf, a very exalted personality could actually produce children, mainly the Brahmanas. Then again, this culture has been forbidden in this age of Kali. So Pandu suggested that why not Kunti accept some sages to have a child. Kunti, just the thought of it, she was completely disgusted with that. She said, well, there is no question of me accepting anyone but you. But then Kunti narrated one incident in her young days, that once Durvasa Muni came to her father's house, father's palace, Kunti's palace. And Durvasa Muni is famous for his short temper and quick cursing. He would get upset and he would give curse. And these curses could be quite destructive. Like once Durvasa cursed the demigods, cursed Indra. And as a result of that curse, Lakshmi Devi left. That means the demigods lost all their opulence. And the demons defeated them and they were driven out of the heavenly planet. Such a powerful personality. So Durvasa came to the palace of Kunti Bhoj, Kunti's father. And at that time, Kunti's father designated Kunti, to take care of Durvasa. And Durvasa stayed in the palace of King Kunti Bhoj for 1 year. And Kunti took care of him so nicely that Durvasa, what to speak of becoming angry or giving curse, becoming so satisfied and gave him the boon or way, the means or mantra to call any demigod at her will. But what Kunti could not understand at the time was that when she called the demigod, that would mean the demigod would come to embrace her. And as a result of that, there would be a child born. So when Kunti got this boon, she called the sun god, Suryadev. And Suryadev appeared. And as a result of that, Suryadev's appearance, Kunti gave birth to a son. But the son was floated away in a raft, in a box, in the river, next to the palace. The palace was next to Ganga, Jamuna, actually, in Delhi, Hastinapur. So that son is Karna. So Kunti told Pandu about this boon, that she can call a demigod. And the demigod's existence is so subtle that it doesn't really affect one's purity. So Pandu then told Kunti to call Dharmaraj, Jamraj, who is the person in charge of justice, dharma. And as a result of that, Yudhishthira Maharaj was born. And then Pandu said, get another son who will be extremely powerful, because this son is noble and he'll be gentle, but in order to he'll be an ideal king. But in order to protect or give him protection and support, we need a powerful individual. So get Vayu to come, Pavandeva. And as a result of that, Bhima was born. Then he wanted another son. And he said, this time let's call Indradev. And as a result of that, Arjun was born. So at that time Kunti said, three is enough. But Pandu said that, look, you'll have the son, and Madri, if she doesn't have any children, then she'll feel disappointed. So also teach her the mantra. So on his request, Kunti taught Madri the mantra, and Madri called Ashwini Kumar. The twin demigods were celestial, who are known for their beauty, handsome features. So this, as a result of that, she got two sons, Nakul and Sahadev. So these are the five brothers or Pandavas. Three from Kunti, two from Madri. And they are growing up in that divine atmosphere of the hermitage, inhabited by the most exalted sages. But one day, it was springtime, and the springtime is the time when people generally become afflicted with lusty desires. So Pandu was there with Madri, and this was springtime. In India, the springtime is a very special season where the flowers bloom and the wind carries the beautiful fragrance of those flowers. The cuckoo birds, you hear them cooing, and the gentle breeze blows. The sun becomes so mild and like as if radiating golden beams. And the whole atmosphere becomes so pleasing that Pandu became affected by that. And seeing Madri, he just couldn't resist his lusty desire. Although Madri tried to stop him, but she could not. And at that time, Pandu left his body, according to the curse of that kingdom of Muni. And then Madri started to cry. Then Kunti came running and saw Pandu's dead body. Madri explained everything to Kunti, what actually happened. Then it was decided that while Pandu's body will be cremated, they both actually wanted to go along with Pandu. Sahamrittu, becoming sati, going along with the husband, departed husband, entering into the fire. That's also another aspect of Vedic culture, which may appear to be very cruel, but actually it is very natural that when the relationship is so intense between husband and wife, that when the husband leaves the planet, wife feels that she cannot continue alone anymore. So she voluntarily enters into the fire. So it was decided, then Kunti and Madri considered that one of them have to stay back. Because if both of them left, then who would take care of the children? Although Kunti gave her claim that she is the elder, she is the first wife, therefore she should accompany him. But Madri reasoned with two, three very, very valid, salient points. One is that it is because of her that Pandu left his body. He left and with his desire unfulfilled. Therefore, Madri should go along with him. Another reason she gave is that Kunti has three sons, whereas Madri has two. Therefore, it is appropriate that Kunti would stay back because her responsibility is more towards the children than Madri's. And because Kunti is the elder, she should take the earthly responsibilities more than the next responsibility of the next life. Anyway, so then Kunti agreed, and Madri is the one who entered into the funeral pyre of her husband. And after that, the children were brought to Hastinapur with the remains of Pandu's body, and the whole city was submerged in an ocean of sorrow, hearing the news. Then they performed Pandu's Shraddha ceremony, and they started to grow up. The five Pandavas started to grow up in Hastinapur, in the palace of the Kauravas. In the meantime, Yudhishthir gave birth to 100 sons and one daughter. That also happened. I'm sorry. Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra also gave birth to 100 sons and one daughter. That also happened in a strange way. When the news came that Pandu gave birth to Yudhishthir Maharaj, the firstborn, at that time Gandhari was pregnant. And they had a hope that maybe her children would be older. That way, her child firstborn will have the claim over the throne. But the news came that Pandu's son was born. And in the meantime, Gandhari was blessed by Vasudev that she would give birth to 100 very, very powerful sons. And being blessed by Vasudev in this way, she was expecting that she will give birth to at least one illustrious son, and the rest will come in course of time. But after 2 years of pregnancy, she didn't give birth, and the news came now that Yudhishthir is born. So in total desperation, she just struck her womb with her fist. The Kshatriya women are very powerful also. So when she struck her womb in this way, a lump of flesh like a ball came out of her womb, which was like hard, solid, an iron ball. And so she started to lament. And Vasudev blessed me that I have 100 children. But look what happened. So at that time Vasudev appeared there. And Vasudev told them not to worry. and said, get 100 pots, 101 pots with ghee, filled with ghee. And then he sprinkled water onto that lump of flesh. And then the flesh disintegrated into 101 pieces. And he put the pieces onto each pot and told him to keep it covered for 2 years. And so as a result of that, from these 101 pots, 100 sons appeared after 2 years. And one daughter appeared. So these sons were headed by Duryodhana. Duryodhana forecasted all kinds of ominous signs when he appeared. The donkeys began to bray. The sky started to shower pus and blood. And all kinds of inauspicious signs started to display. And so seeing that, Vidura could foresee that this child would be the cause of the destruction of the family. So Vidura told Dhritarashtra at that time that get rid of this son of yours, because he'll be the cause of the destruction of the family. But Dhritarashtra was so attached to his son, he could listen to Vidura's advice. Although Vidura advised him, Dhritarashtra just indicated to the nurse to take the baby, totally disregarding Vidura's instruction. Take the baby to the inside of the house. So this way, there were 100 sons of Dhritarashtra and 5 sons of Pandu. They started to grow up together. And now I'll try to go quickly through the first episode called Shabha Parva, the first chapter. Okay, so they started to grow up together, but they were very, very inimical towards each other. Mainly because Bhima was so powerful that nobody could match him. And he was like the children when they play, they unconsciously, unknowingly, unintentionally, they cause some harm to the others. Like for example, playfully, they would just harass them and harm them. Like for example, when Duryodhana and his brothers would climb up a tree, Bhima would start to shake the tree. And as a result of that, they would fall from the tree. When they would be doing, in the water, they would be sporting, Bhima would hold on, get 2 or 3 of them, hold them together and dunk them under water and keep them there like that. And so this is how Bhima used to harass them, and they became more and more envious. So they became, although they were children, Duryodhana was so vicious that he decided to kill Bhima. So one day when they went on a picnic on the bank of the river Jamuna, Duryodhana offered Bhima laddus, sweets, which was actually mixed with snakes of king cobra. This is a deadly poison called Kalkut. And Bhima was extremely fond of eating. And especially when something is so delicious, Bhima just kept on eating and eating and eating. And Duryodhana just kept on offering him, take this, my dear brother, eat more. It has been described that Duryodhan had the tongue of nectar and the heart full of poison. That was Duryodhan's nature. He spoke very sweetly, but his heart was filled with envy. So, and after a while, when they were sporting, Bhima became tired. Actually, the poison started to work. And Bhima, then, when he became unconscious, Duryodhan and his brothers tied him up by hands and feet and drowned him in the river. So Bhima's body sank at the bottom of the river and it went to the Nagaloka, the region of the snakes. And there Bhima's body fell on the snakes who were playing. And the snake started to, being angry, started to bite Bhima. Now he had the snake poison and the snake started to bite. So what happened? It acted as, those snake bites acted as an antidote to the poison. So Bhima came back to his senses. And when Bhima came back to his senses, he found that the snakes were biting him. So he became very upset. So with a tug, he just broke open his hands and feet of the ropes and he started to kill the snakes. The news reached to the king of the snakes, Vasuki. And he came with his minister, Ashwapati, and anyway, Bhim started to kill them, and when he came with his minister and saw Bhima, his minister actually recognized Bhima as his great-great-grandson. So his daughter was married in that family at one point. And so they took Bhima to the palace of the snake king. And there they offered him to drink the nectar. The nectar of the snakes. They also have nectar. As the demigods have nectar, they also have, the snakes also have nectar in Nagaloka. And although one drop of this nectar can make one practically immortal, but Bhima drank 8 pots of nectar. And after drinking the nectar, he fell asleep for 8 days. In the meantime, they were naturally very worried what happened, and they could understand that it must have been the act of Duryodhan, and Duryodhan somehow really succeeded in killing Bhim. But after 8 days, Bhim came back. But this time, he got the strength, because of the nectar that he drank, he got the strength of 10,000 elephants. So he became even more powerful. So, anyway, so Duryodhan was always worried about them, how to get rid of them. So then Duryodhan made an arrangement to burn them alive. He made a house of inflammable objects, like shellacks, house of shellacks, Jatugriha. And the Pandavas were requested to go there and have a wonderful time in that beautiful city, beautiful place. And so Pandavas rather innocently went to that place with Kunti. But the idea was that after some time, Pudochan, Duryodhan's minister, would set the house in fire and kill them all. Now Vidura could find that out. So Vidura warned Yudhishthir Maharaj about that. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, it has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that Vidura spoke that to Yudhishthir Maharaj in a mlecha language. That means he spoke English. And Yudhishthir Maharaj also could understand the language. So, when afterwards Kunti asked, what did he say? So then Yudhishthir Maharaj told him that this is what he said. This is what Vidura said, to be careful of fire. And the way to escape the danger of fire is by digging a tunnel. Because when there is fire, the only way you can escape is underground. So, and you become acquainted with the vicinity, the surrounding places. So that when you escape from there, you know where to go to. So anyway, and then Vidura also sent an expert tunnel digger. So during the day, they used to walk around, getting acquainted with the surrounding area. And at night, they used to dig the tunnel. And when the tunnel was complete, then they threw a feast and invited all the citizens of that area, all the residents of the area. And at night, they set the house in fire and escaped through the tunnel. Now, one coincidence actually took place. When they fed so much, there were one aborigine woman came with her 5 children to the feast. And they ate so much in the feast that they fell asleep in the house itself. So in the morning, when the house was in fire, people came, but the house was made of shellacks. So they found that it was impossible to extinguish the fire. In the morning, when the fire was extinguished, from that they found the body of Pudochan, the evil minister of Duryodhan, and there is a body of a woman with 5 men, 5 boys. So they thought that this is Kunti and the 5 Pandavas, they died. In the meantime, they came out of that house and went to the river and went across the river in a boat that Vidura arranged to send for them. And they went to a dense forest on the other side of the river. So in that forest, when they all were resting and Bhima was guarding them, one Rakshasa called Hirimba, he became very happy that now some human flesh has become available. For the Rakshasas, human flesh is a delicacy. So he saw that 5-6 such human beings have come. So he thought, now we are going to have a feast. So he sent his sister, Hirimba, to kill them and bring them to him. But when Hirimba came there and saw Bhima, she just fell in love with him. So she assumed a very beautiful form and approached Bhima and told that she is actually a Rakshasi and her brother sent her to kill them and take them for his food. So Bhima, and she said, you all please run away from here right now. And Bhima said, look, Bhima never runs away out of fear of anybody. So in the meantime, when Hidimba found that his sister Hidimba is taking so much time to come back after killing them, he impatiently came out and he saw that his sister is having an affair with, having a love talk with this man who is supposed to be his fool. So he became very angry and said that you are not my sister, you are my enemy, I'm going to kill you first. And at that time Bhim confronted him. So they fought. Bhima had his way of killing the Rakshasas or his opponents. Like he would fight, and when they would become weak, when the opponent would become weak, then Bhima would pick him up. And he would hold him overhead and spin him 100 times or more. And as a result of that, that person would become unconscious, being spun around like that. And he would then throw him on the ground and kill him. So this is how Bhima killed Hidimba. And so they started to go. And when they were walking away, then they found that Hidimba is following them, that Rakshasi. So they said, look, we'll go away, we'll go back to your home. Then Hidimba appealed to Kunti that, look, as a woman, you understand a woman's heart. Like, my heart has been given to this son of yours. So I can't live without him. So then Kunti consulted with Yudhishthir Maharaj and decided that let him get married to Hidimba. And the condition was that during the day Hidimba and Bhim would sport, and at night Hidimba would return Bhim to them. And until the son is born, Bhima would be with Hidimba, and as soon as the son is born, then Hidimba will go away with the son, releasing him. In course of time, a son was born, and his name was Ghatotkach. In course of time, we'll see that Ghatotkach actually was an arrangement of Indra. During the battle of Kurukshetra, to protect Arjuna, Indra actually made this arrangement of Ghatotkach. Anyway, Ghatotkach was born, and then Vasudev came and told them to go to a village called Ekachakra. So they went to Ekachakra, they were staying in the house of a Brahmana, and in the house of the Brahmana, they were staying as Brahmana. During the daytime, the Pandavas used to go out begging alms, and in the evening they would come home, and whatever they have brought, they would share among themselves. The sharing was, the half of it would go to Bhima, and the remaining half was for the other five. And in this way they were spending their time. One day they found that the Brahmana family was in great distress. They were talking among themselves in great anxiety. They could hear the sound of crying. And so they went to... Kunti was there with Bhima. That day Bhima didn't go to beg. And so Kunti went and asked them, what happened? And then the Brahmana told, there is a demon called Baka, a Rakshasa called Baka, and Baka was indiscriminately killing people in the villages and in the town and eating them up. So that's why the king of this place made an arrangement that on particular day Baka will be offered some food in the form of a cartload of food and one human being And it was the responsibility of different families. In turn, they were actually, that means they have to sacrifice one man from the family, one person from the family. So now this is their turn to become the food of Bhaka, to arrange for the food of Bhaka Rakshasa. So then Kunti said, don't worry, my son will go. They said, no, how can we allow a guest to offer himself? Because our business is to protect the guest, not to sacrifice the guest. Kunti said, look, don't worry, my son is extremely powerful. He will take care of Bhaka. Then they said, they started to tell how powerful Bhaka was. Then Kunti said, don't worry. And then finally she convinced that, look, I'm the mother. If I was not completely confident of my son, I would never have allowed him to go. Because which mother wants his son to be killed? So don't worry, my son will take care of this Rakshasa. So the next morning, Bhima went, early morning, with a cart full of food meant for Bhaka, drawn by two buffaloes. But when they came, when came to the mountain top, where the food is supposed to be kept for Bhaka, and Bhaka would come and eat the food along with the person who brought the food, Bhima himself started to eat the food. Because Bhima was very fond of eating. So he started to eat the food. So when Bhaka came and saw Bhima eating the food, he became furious. So, and Bhima said, just wait, let me finish the food, finish my meal, then I will deal with you. And so then Bhaka came with an uprooted tree. So Bhima also took up an uprooted tree and they started to fight. This way they fought for a long time. And then finally, as Bhima, as I told you, how is to Bhima kill his opponent? Spin him up overhead and then smash him on the ground. And Bhaka was dead. So Bhima took Bhaka's dead body and kept it at the city entrance. In the morning everyone found that Bhaka's dead body. So they were very, very surprised. So they went to the house of the Brahmana to find out what actually happened. So Brahmana said, look, one Gandharva actually came and he told me that he would take care of Bhaka. And he carried the food that day. And now you can see what happened. It must be the Gandharva who actually killed. Kunti told them not to disclose their identity, that they killed, that Bhima killed Bhaka. That place, Ekachakra, is still there. It's about 3 hours ride from Mayapur, drive from Mayapur. And you can go there and that place is still there. There is the place where Bhaka fought with Bhima and Bhima killed Bhaka. We also have a temple there, ISKCON temple, in Ekachakra village. That is the place where Nityananda Prabhu actually appeared. So this is how Bhaka was killed. Then one day Vasudev came and informed that Drupad's daughter, Jaggaseni, because she appeared from the fire sacrifice, from the sacrificial fire, this girl appeared. Her name is Krishna. And she is the most beautiful woman on the planet. And so she is getting married in Sayambara. She will select her own husband. But about selecting the husband, there is a condition. Anyway, so hearing about that, They also became interested and they decided to go there. No, it was not Vasudev. It was one Brahman, wandering Brahman, actually gave them the news. So they decided to go and participate in that celebration. Queens and the daughter, princess getting married. So they went there and all the kings and princes came there. And the condition actually was that high up above there was a fish, and underneath the fish there was a disc with one hole, and the disc was moving. And from below, not even looking up, but looking at the reflection on a pool of water, pot of water, one had to pierce the fish. Now see what a difficult task it is. The arrow had to pass through the hole and hit the target. So, many, many kings and princes tried. They all failed. Then finally, Drishtadyumna, Drupad's son, who also appeared from a sacrificial fire along with Draupadi. Drishtadyumna appeared to kill Dronacharya. So, Drishtadyumna announced to Draupadi's elder brother that now that Kshatriyas have failed, is there any Brahmana who would like to give it a try? So when that announcement was made, Arjun stood up. And many Brahmanas started to shout, this Brahmana has become crazy. Seeing the beauty of the princess. When all the Kshatriya kings failed and this Brahmana dares to hit the target. But some others say that Brahmanas are superior to the Kshatriyas. So when the Kshatriyas failed and if a Brahmana succeeds, it's natural. So in this way, and then finally being encouraged and enlivened by other Brahmanas, Arjuna then went to the arena. He picked up the bow. Many of them couldn't even pick up the bow. Most of them failed even to string the bow. But Arjun very easily picked up the bow, strung the bow, pulled up the arrow, set it on the bow, looking at the pot of water and the rotating disc above. He released his arrow, and in no time, the fish, being struck by the arrow, fell on the ground. So Draupadi then came to offer his garland onto Arjuna. So at that time, all the kings, being upset with Draupadi, decided to attack Draupadi. So this person has invited us to insult us in this way. So then Drupad, although very powerful person, but he was meek in his nature. So he went and took shelter of the Brahmanas. So seeing him in such distress and seeing how these enemies, how these kings were about to attack him, Arjun and Bhima took their stand. Bhima just pulled up a tree, that was his favorite weapon. Pulled up a tree, broke the branches and the leaves and made it into a stick, a huge stick. And he started to fight with them. Karna confronted Arjun but was defeated. And he, at that time, he asked, Karna asked, "Who are you? Are you Parashuram?" And so and then Arjun said, "No, I am an ordinary Brahmin, but I have Brahmastra. So be careful while you're dealing with me." So hearing that, Karna gave up. And so all the kings gave up. And the girl was taken to Kunti. They were staying in the house of a potter. And so they came to Kunti and said, "Today, mother, we have a very special object we got by begging." So Kunti, from inside the house, without knowing what actually happened, said, "Okay, you five brothers share it." So this is also another thing about Vedic culture. The words of the superior were taken with absolute sincerity. Mother said, "You all five brothers share." So now they decided to marry all these four, all four brother, all five brothers to marry Draupadi. Anyway, then the next, in the meantime, Drupad also sent his spies along with Drishtadumna. And when Drishtadumna went back, he said that these are not Brahmanas, these are Kshatriyas. At night, when they were talking among themselves, lying in their beds, they were not talking about scriptures, they were talking about weapons. And how to use them. And I suspect that these are the Pandavas. So this is how the next morning they were invited to the palace of Drupad, and in the palace their identity was disclosed as five Pandavas. So Drupad's desire was that that Draupadi would be married to Arjuna. That way. And that's why he made this arrangement. Something that only Arjun could, some fit that only Arjun could accomplish. And he was very pleased that Arjun actually is still alive. And Arjun is becoming Draupadi's husband. But then the news came that five brothers are going to marry Draupadi. Drupad said, "How is it possible? It's not done. One man can have many wives, but a woman cannot have many husbands." So at that time Vasudev came and told about certain happening, that this particular girl, Draupadi, in her previous life, in order to get the husband, she was the daughter of a rishi, and in order to get her husband, she was performing austerity, and as a result of her severe austerity, Lord Shiva appeared to her. And Lord Shiva asked her, "What do you want?" And she told that she wants a husband who is extremely unusual. She wanted a husband who is extremely powerful. She wanted a husband who was extremely handsome. In this way, she told five times that she wanted a husband. So Lord Shiva told that, "Okay, since you asked five times for a husband, you'll get five husbands." And then Vasudev also gave Drupad the sight through which he could see that these five Pandavas are actually five demigods. They are not ordinary mortals. So in this way, the Pandavas were married to Draupadi, and then the news reached Hastinapur. Dhritarashtra pretended as if he is very happy to hear that the Pandavas are still alive. But internally he was extremely disappointed to receive that news. And so this way Pandavas came back and they got their kingdom. Then upon Bhishma's and Dronacharya's advice, the half of the kingdom was given to them. But the kingdom, the good part of the kingdom, Dhritarashtra kept for his son. Whereas the barren part of the land, Khandava Prastha, was given to the Pandavas. But it so happened that when the Pandavas decided to go there as a kingdom, then all the Brahmanas wanted to accompany them. When the Brahmanas went there, Vasudev himself actually designed the city. He did the Vastu calculation. Vasudev designed the city, and the city was built, and Brahmanas came, Kshatriya warriors came to settle there. And when the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas were there, Vaishyas also went there to, with the prospect of doing their business. And in no time, this city, which was known as Indraprastha, the land of Indra, became very prosperous. And the architect of the demons, whose name is Mayadhanav, being pleased with Arjuna and Krishna, approached them. Arjuna and Krishna did them some favor. As a result of that favor, Mai wanted to do something. But Arjuna said, no, there is no need. Whatever we have done for our duty. We don't want anything in return. But Mayadhanav was adamant that he wanted to do something. And as a result of that, finally they said that, okay, then you can build a courthouse, Sabhagriha, Sabhagar, a courthouse for Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Mai built such a court, such an assembly hall for the Pandava, for Yudhishthira Maharaj, that were not seen everywhere in the plan. As a matter of fact, when Narad Muni was asked whether there has been any such palace, any such assembly hall, Narad Muni said, in the earth planet there is none. But Indra's palace is comparable to this. Kubera's palace is comparable to this. In this way, Indra's, Brahma's, Kubera's, Varuna's and Surya's palaces were compared to that. Comparable to that. So this is how they started to reside there in the new part of their kingdom, which was given to them as just a barren piece of land, but due to their pious deeds, the place became extremely prosperous. Okay, so I'll end now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I don't know whether you all have questions, but if you have questions, today it's already quite late. Tomorrow I'll try to make the classes shorter, so that there is a room for a lot of questions and answers. How many of you would like to have question-answer session like that? Okay, so if you have any question now, write it down. And tomorrow I will try to answer it. I know lots of questions naturally come up. I will try to answer them tomorrow. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Should we do the Mahaprasade Govinde also now? Yes. Mahaprasade Govinde.
Mahaprasade Govinde.
Namo Brahmane Vaishnave.
Namo Brahmane Vaishnave.
Shalpa Punna Vatan Raja. Shashamaiva Jayate. Sharira Abhita Ja. Jarendriya Taheka. Fele Bishayo Shakare. তার মধ্যে জুভতি লোহময় সুদূরমতি তাকে জেতা কঠিন সংসারে কৃষ্ণ বড় দয়াময় পরিবারে জুভা যায় সপ্রসাদ অন্ন দিল সেই অন্নামৃত পাও রাধা কৃষ্ণ গুণ গাও প্রেমে ডাকো চৈতন্য প্রেমে ডাকো চৈতন্য হরে কৃষ্ণ হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে হরে জয় মহাপ্রসাদ কী জয় শ্রী শ্রী রাধা গোপীনাথ কী জয় শ্রী শ্রী জগন্নাথ বলদেব সুভদ্রা মহারানী কী জয় শ্রী শ্রী গৌরনিতাই কী জয় জগদ্গুরু শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কী সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কী গৌর প্রেমানন্দে নমো বিষ্ণুপদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী নীতি নামিনে নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পশ্চাৎ
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much for such an enlightening first talk on the Mahabharata. I'm sure everyone's looking forward to tomorrow's seminar as well. So now we have prasadam, which we just did prasadam prayers. Quick announcement for any kids that want to get involved is there's going to be a Mahabharata play, which Yadurani Mataji is going to start organizing from today. So from 3 o'clock, anyone, doesn't have to be the young people, it could be anyone. You're all young people at heart. So from 3 o'clock in here, if you can meet, then she will arrange how to do. So please come here at 3 o'clock. I'll see you all at the next seminar. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
For Srila Prabhupada, what Prabhupada has done for you and what you're going to do for Prabhupada for later on. So please remember to write this for today. Thank you. Hare Bhagavan.
Ask how many of them have written so far. Okay.
Sorry, I thought it would be disturbing if I came back in twice and did it. I just went to the toilet and I forgot. I just wanted to stand outside. It would be disturbing if I came back.